This made the others so enraged that they decided the two men should die for what they had done and for deluding the men of the fair. Then they returned the men to the cage and fastened their feet in the stocks until further orders should be given. Here, Christian and Faithful recalled what they had heard from their faithful friend Evangelist and were strengthened, for their sufferings confirmed what he had told them would happen to them. They also comforted each other that whoever was chosen to suffer should be blessed. Therefore, each man secretly wished that he might have that honor. But they committed themselves to the all-wise will of the one who rules all things, content to abide in their present condition until he should will otherwise. Finally, time was set for their trial, and they were brought before their enemies and arraigned. The judge's name was Lord Hategood. Their indictment was the same as before, with a slight variation in form, and the basic contents stated that they are enemies of and disturbers of their trade, that they have caused commotion and dissension in the town, and have won a certain party to their own dangerous opinions, in contempt for the law of their prince. Now, Faithful, play the man, speak for thy God. Fear not the wicked's malice, nor their rod. Speak boldly, man, the truth is on thy side. Die for it, and to life in triumph ride. Then Faithful began to answer their charges, saying that he had only opposed that which had opposed him who is higher than the highest. As for the disturbance, he said, I make none, being myself a man of peace. The parties that were won to us were won by our truth and innocence, and they have only turned from the worse to the better. And as to the king you talk of, since he is Beelzebub, the enemy of our Lord, I defy him and all his angels. Then it was proclaimed that those who had anything to say for their lord the king against the prisoner at the bar should appear and give their evidence. So three witnesses came in, namely Envy, Superstition, and Pickthank. They were then asked if they knew the prisoner at the bar, and what they had to say for their lord the king against him. Then Envy stood up and said, My lord, I have known this man a long time, and will attest under oath before this honorable bench that he is— Hold on a moment, administer the oath. So they swore him in. Then he said, My lord, this man, regardless of his name, is one of the vilest men in our country. He does not respect prince or people, law or custom, but does all he can to impress others with his disloyal notions, which he calls principles of faith and holiness. And I heard him once myself affirm that Christianity and the customs of our town of vanity were diametrically opposed and could not be reconciled, by which, my lord, he not only condemns all our good deeds, but also us for doing them. Have you any more to say? My lord, I could say much more, only I don't want to weary the court, said Envy. Yet, if, when the other gentlemen have given their evidence, there is not enough to convict him, I will enlarge my testimony against him. So he was told to stand by. Then they called Superstition and told him to look at the prisoner. They also asked what evidence he had for their lord the king against the man. Then they swore him in, and he began. My lord, I don't know this man very well, nor do I want to. However, from some conversation I had with him the other day, I do know that he is a troublemaker, for while talking with him I heard him say that our religion was worthless, and by no means pleasing to God. Your lordship very well knows that by saying this he means that we worship in vain, that we are still in our sins, and finally shall be damned. And that is what I have to say. Then Pickthank was sworn in and told to state what he knew in behalf of their lord the king against the prisoner at the bar. My lord and gentlemen, I have known this fellow for a long time, and have heard him say things that ought not to be said, for he has reviled our noble prince Beelzebub, and has spoken contemptuously of his honorable friends, the Lord Old Man, the Lord Carnal Delight, the Lord Luxurious, the Lord Desire of Vainglory, my old Lord Lechery, Sir Having Greedy, along with all the rest of our nobility, and he has said, moreover, that if all men believed as he did, not one of these noblemen would dwell in this town any longer. Besides, he has not been afraid to speak against you, my lord, who are now his judge, calling you an ungodly villain and many other vilifying terms, with which he has slandered most of the gentlemen of our town." When Pickthank had told his tale, the judge directed his speech to the prisoner at the bar, saying, "You renegade, heretic, and traitor, have you heard what these honest gentlemen have witnessed against you?" "May I say a few words in my defense?" asked Faithful. "Sir, sir, you deserve to die, yet so that all men may see our fairness to you, let us hear what you, vile renegade, have to say," said the judge. Faithful answered, "First, then, in answer to what Mr. Envy has said, I never said anything but this, that any rule or laws or customs or people that are against the word of God are diametrically opposed to Christianity. If I have spoken amiss in this, convince me of my error, and I am ready to recant before you. As to the second, Mr. Superstition, and his charge against me, I said only this, that a divine faith is required in the worship of God. But there can be no divine faith without a divine revelation of the will of God. Therefore, anything that is done in the worship of God that is not in agreement with divine revelation must be done by a human faith, which will not bring eternal life. As to what Mr. Pickthank has said, I say, avoiding terms that would accuse me of reviling and the like, that the prince of this town and his attendants, named by this gentleman, are more fit for hell than for this town and country. And so the Lord have mercy upon me." Then the judge called to the jury, who had been standing by listening and observing, "Gentlemen of the jury, you see this man who has caused such a great uproar in this town. You have also heard the testimony of these worthy gentlemen against him. Also, you have heard his reply and confession. You must now decide whether he is to live or die, but first I think it proper to instruct you in our law. There was an act ordered in the days of Pharaoh the Great, servant to our prince, so that those of a contrary religion should not multiply and grow too strong. This provided that their mail should be thrown into the river. It was also an act carried out in the days of Nebuchadnezzar the Great, another of our prince's servants, ordering that whoever would not fall down and worship his golden image should be thrown into a fiery furnace. There was also an act in the days of Darius that ruled that whoever at a certain time called upon any god but him should be cast into the lion's den. Now this rebel has broken the substance of these laws, not only in thought, which is bad enough, but also in word and deed, which is intolerable. In the case of Pharaoh, his law was based on a supposition to prevent mischief, since no crime was yet apparent. But here a crime is apparent. In regard to the second and third instances, you can see that he argues against our religion, and for the treason he has confessed to, he deserves to die." Then the jury, whose names were Mr. Blind Man, Mr. No Good, Mr. Malice, Mr. Lovelust, Mr. Live Loose, Mr. Heady, Mr. High Mind, Mr. Enmity, Mr. Liar, Mr. Cruelty, Mr. Hate Light, and Mr. Implacable, went out to deliberate. Each one gave his private verdict against Faithful, and afterward they unanimously found him guilty. First among themselves, Mr. Blind Man, the foreman, said, "I see clearly that this man is a heretic." Then said Mr. No Good, "Rid the earth of the fellow." "I agree," said Mr. Malice, "for I hate the very sight of him." Then Mr. Lovelust said, "I never could stand him." "Nor I," said Mr. Live Loose, "for he was always condemning me." "Hang him, hang him," said Mr. Heady. "A sorry scrub," said Mr. High Mind. "My heart rises against him," said Mr. Enmity. "He is a rogue," said Mr. Liar. "Hanging is too good for him," said Mr. Cruelty. "Let us get rid of him," said Mr. Hatelight. Then Mr. Implacable said, "Even if all the world were given to me, I could not accept him. Therefore let us immediately bring in a verdict of guilty and a sentence of death." And so they did. Therefore Faithful was condemned to the most cruel death that could be invented. They brought him out then to punish him according to their law, And first they scourged him, then they buffeted him, then they lanced his flesh with knives, after that they stoned him with stones, then pricked him with their swords, and last of all they burned him to ashes at the stake. And thus came Faithful to his death. Now I saw that there stood behind the multitude a chariot and a couple of horses waiting for Faithful, who, as soon as his adversaries had killed him, was taken up into it, and immediately carried up through the clouds, with sound of trumpets, the nearest way to the celestial gate. Brave Faithful, bravely done in word and deed, judge, witnesses, and jury have, instead of overcoming thee, but shown their rage. When they are dead, thou'lt live from age to age. But as for Christian, he had some reprieve and was returned to prison. There he remained for a time, but he who overrules all things, having the power of their rage in his own hand, enabled Christian to escape them and to continue on his way. And as he went, he sang, "Well, Faithful, thou hast faithfully professed unto thy Lord, with whom thou shalt be blessed. When faithless ones with all their vain delights are crying out under their hellish plights, sing, Faithful, sing, and let thy name survive, for though they killed thee, thou art yet alive." Now I saw in my dream that Christian did not go on alone, for Hopeful, who had been won to the Lord by the words and behavior of Christian and Faithful in their sufferings at the fair, joined him and promised that he would be his companion. Thus one died to bear testimony to the truth, and another rose out of his ashes to be a companion to Christian on his pilgrimage. Hopeful also told Christian that there were many more men in the fair who would eventually follow them. Shortly after they had left the fair, they overtook someone who was ahead of them, whose name was By-ends. So they said to him, "What country are you from, sir? And how far are you going?" He told them that he came from the town of Fair Speech, and was going to the Celestial City. But he did not tell them his name. "From Fair Speech," said Christian. "Is there anything good there?" Bayen said, "Yes, I hope so. Tell me, sir, what may I call you? I am a stranger to you and you to me, but if you are going this way, I shall be glad of your company. If not, I must be content." "I have heard of this town of Fair Speech," said Christian, "and as I remember, they say it's a wealthy place." "Yes, I assure you that it is," said Byans, "and I have many rich relatives there." "Who are your relatives there, if I may be so bold?" Byans answered, "Almost the whole town, in particular Lord Turnabout, Lord Time Server, Lord Fair Speech, from whose ancestors the town first took its name, also Mr. Smoothman, Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Anything, and the parson of our parish, Mr. Two Tongues, was my mother's own brother. To tell you the truth, my great-grandfather was only a boatman, looking one way and rowing another, and I got most of my wealth by the same occupation." "Are you a married man?" asked Christian. "Yes, and my wife is a very virtuous woman," said Byans, "and is the daughter of a virtuous woman. She was Lady Feining's daughter, therefore she came of a very honourable family, and has so much breeding that she knows how to deal with anyone, from prince to peasant. It is true that we differ somewhat in religion from those of the stricter sort, yet only in two small points. First, we never go against the wind and the tide, and second, we are always most zealous when religion walks in silver slippers and when the sun shines and the people applaud what we believe.